everybody. Welcome back to another episode of the Wonder Podcast, the podcast where we break down and review movies all in one big, long, unbroken take. I'm Austin Archer, and with me, as always, is my childhood next-door neighbor and lifelong best friend,
Kramer England.
Okay, man, we're doing a retrospective on an old film. Well, not an old film, but like a, you know, like a 20-year-old movie.
Yeah.
And what a stinker this movie is, right?
So like, bad.
What
so
a,
bad.
What a piece of crap.
Like, oh, man. Nobody likes it.
I are you watching closely?
I was going to ask you that question.
Were you going to ask me that
question? Yes, I was going to say, Austin, are you watching closely?
Yeah. Okay, and I'm going to say this for our viewers, too, because pay attention. Are you watching closely to the to this episode of the show?
Yes.
Okay? Because I want to see if you spot. So you got to be paying attention, all right? There's going to be abracadabra there, coming right at you.
This is going to be a breakdown.
Yeah,
we're going to reveal all the tricks.
Yeah, this is Christopher Nolan's The Prestige. One of my favorite films of maybe all time, one of my favorite Nolans for sure. I think one of the most underrated and most forgotten films in the Nolan catalog. Yeah. And right off the bat, everybody should know, if you've never seen this movie, don't watch this episode of our show.
Spoilers.
And
we're going to spoil it early.
Yeah. And
we're
this is
spoil
like,
it early.
And this is a movie that like, don't let a YouTube video spoil this movie for
you. No, like experience it for yourself.
Yeah.
So yeah, like this movie, there's a few things about this movie. First of all, Christopher Nolan made, he made Batman Begins.
Mm-hmm.
Then he made The Prestige.
Mm-hmm.
Then he made The Dark Knight. Then he made Inception. Four movies that are like some of the best movies ever.
What a run.
So, yeah.
But also like Memento comes before.
Memento. And then
Insomnia.
And then Batman Begins.
And maybe you could say Insomnia is a dip, but Insomnia is not bad.
Really? Yeah, it's a really, really good movie.
Yeah.
It was more like, okay, I've got to make something to prove that I can make a good movie.
Yeah.
And he did. It was almost like Warner Brothers was like, all right, make this, you know, or someone was like, okay, make this movie for us. And it was a great experience and it did well. And then they were like, okay, you could make Batman. And then he got pretty much all the control in the world from there.
I'd say if he went Memento, Batman, Prestige, Dark Knight, Inception, that would be like five in a row, just like,
yeah,
you know,
like nearly perfect movies.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Because I recently rewatched Memento as well, and I just was like, this movie's just so well structured. It's just so it's technically amazing. Good. It's just
it's crazy. So I literally just watched this movie. So I watched it on Friday night and I was like, oh my gosh, I got to write everything down. So I wrote everything down. And then tonight I got home from work. I hurried and ate dinner and I took my two sons downstairs and we watched it literally right before this recording.
Yeah.
And I was just like watching the whole time and my sons were like, oh, what about this? What about that? And I was like, well, just hold on. Just like, you know, I was trying to keep like, because structurally this movie is out of order.
Uh-huh.
It's very structurally sound, but it's out of order.
Very normal for Christopher Nolan.
Very, he loves that.
Yeah.
And it makes sense for this movie.
Yep.
But like, I kept telling him like, okay, this is the middle of the movie. Okay. This is jumping to the end. Okay. It's jumping back. Like to try and keep him a little bit on track. But like once the reveal happened, my son's jaws dropped. They were just like, and I was like watching them. And I was like, the song came on. I was like, do you guys believe that? They're like, what just happened? And they were like so excited. And I was talking to him. And I was like, he's a twin the whole time. He's a twin. And it was like, it was crazy. And I was telling him all these things. They're like, oh my gosh, I missed it. And it was awesome. It was
so amazing. I had a very similar experience. I got to watch this with my girlfriend who's never seen the movie.
She's
never seen
amazing.
It before. And I was so excited when I asked her, I said, hey, have you ever seen The Prestige by Christopher Nolan? She said, no. And I said, do you know anything about it? And she goes, no. And I said, will you watch it with me? Because I just want to see if you like, if you pick it up, like if you, and she was like, sure. So she was watching it. And there were several parts in the movie that I paused and I went, do you have any guesses? And she went, she goes, I don't have a clue. Like, and I paused at like moments where it was like where I, if you know the reveal of this film,
yeah.
It's crazy how much he's playing in your face the entire movie.
The whole movie. 5 minutes. Yeah. You can see within 5 minutes, it's probably within 4 or 3 minutes, you can see he's telling you the twist. He shows you the twist.
Yeah.
It's almost immediate.
More so than, so like, this is why I say this is maybe one of the most underrated Nolan films and under-talked about Nolan films is when people talk about the greatest twist endings of all time. Whenever I watch a What Culture list or a Watch Mojo list, of it's always Seven, Sixth Sense, Usual Suspects. There's like but this rarely comes up on those lists. And it's one of the great, because the entire movie is about how you structure a twist. Yes. It's simultaneously a master course in screenwriting for like how to platform a twist and pull it off. And it's also a commentary on magic, devotion to craft, obsession, all these, but like the fact that the screenplay is like, this screenplay is going to be a masterclass in how to write a twist into your movie.
Yeah.
That's platformed the entire way through. And it's also simultaneously talking about like, here's how magic tricks are done.
Yeah.
And it was amazing.
And this movie is a magic trick.
Yeah. And for both of them.
Yeah.
Both characters, because that's the, you know, this is something that every time I watch this movie, I get new things. And I don't think I ever quite got that. Like, it's not just, so you already said it. If you're here, you know the movie. If you're, you know, at this point, Christian Bale performs this trick called the Transported Man. Yep. And the whole movie is about how does he do this trick? He bounces a ball. He walks into a closet. He walks out of another closet on the other side of the stage and catches the ball. Really simple concept. How does he do it? How is he teleporting? And the thing is he's a twin. He has an identical twin brother and they share a life and they both pretend to be the same man. And they go around, you know, switching places and pretending to be the same person so that nobody knows there's two of them. And the movie at the very beginning, Michael Caine tells us every magic trick has three parts.
Yep.
It begins with the pledge where you show the audience something ordinary and you sort of make them a pledge that you're going to do something with this ordinary object.
Yes.
There's the turn where you take the ordinary object and you make it do something extraordinary or magic. You make it disappear.
Yeah.
And then there's the prestige, which is where you bring it back and you make it, you know, and like,
yep.
And both, I used to always see this movie as all about Christian Bale's magic trick, but it's also about Hugh Jackman's magic trick. And both of their prestiges are revealed in the third act. Like
they are. They're revealed. Yeah. And you're right. Every time I watch this movie, I get something new.
Yeah.
And it is amazing how blatantly in your face the twist is the whole time. And Michael Caine talks about it, right? He's like, you're not really looking for the answer. Like in the pledge, you're not, or the turn, you're not really looking for the answer because you want to be fooled.
Yeah.
Right. And throughout the whole movie, Christian Bale is seen as Borden and Fallon. Fallon is his twin who puts on makeup and he looks like a different character. And he is in the movie and within the first 5 minutes, he's with his daughter and you see him and you don't get a close up, but you see him pretty close. And he is throughout the movie and he talks and he has close-ups and Fallon is a character in the movie. Now, granted, they hide it really, really well.
But also, like, Fallon's the weirdest character in a movie ever. If it's not part of it, like the fact that you don't notice that on the first time you're watching it, that it's like, who is that guy? And like I asked my girlfriend at the end of the movie, I said, did you have any thoughts about who Fallon was? And she goes, I literally just thought he was like a weird guy that Christian Bale worked with. And I was like, I was like, when you look back and think about it, it's like, why they're making such a big deal about this guy who's very clearly strange. And like, he doesn't talk. He's like silent the entire movie. And every time you get a look at his face, it's like, who is that? Like,
I know
he looks like he's obviously wearing makeup and like obviously wearing a fake nose. And it's like the fact that you don't immediately go, that's a guy wearing a disguise is crazy.
Well, like, I remember. So I this came out in 2006. I saw this with my brother, Colin.
Yeah.
Chandler was on his mission. So we went and we saw it. And I remember seeing it and thinking, who is this Fallon guy? Like, this is some pretty bad writing. I was like, I was actually like, I'm pretty surprised that Nolan would do this. Like, he's usually really good at like character development and like introducing characters. And I was like, that was pretty poor. Yeah. And like, so I noticed that. And then like, as it went on, I was like, who is this actor? Like this, yeah. Who is this guy? And then it showed it. And I was like, what? So me and Colin were like, our minds were blown. Right. We were just like,
but the fact that it doesn't even enter your, mind that it could be Christian Bale wearing makeup.
No, like, I never thought that. And it shows his face for longer than you realize.
Oh yeah.
So, you know, so Chandler came home from his mission at the end of 2006. This was the first movie that we showed him.
Yeah.
We were like, all right, we gotta show you The Prestige. He's like, oh, okay. So like we showed it again. Just, I mean, watching this movie with somebody who hasn't seen it is one of the best things.
I've watched this movie with people who haven't seen it many times in my life.
Yeah.
I've never seen anybody get it.
Oh,
I've never seen anybody even have like a guess. And it's not because the movie is going out of its way to hide the reveal from you. The movie is being overt about the reveal the entire time. So Hugh Jackman's Prestige is the first shot of the film.
Yeah.
The first shot of the film is Hugh Jackman's Prestige. Like the opening shot is a bunch of hats on a field and you go, don't know what that is.
Yep.
And you just go, I have no idea what that is.
Yep.
But the movie is going, this is what Hugh Jackman does to achieve the transported man.
Yeah. Are you watching closely?
Are you watching closely? He builds a machine that teleports, that doesn't teleport him. It clones him and it sends a clone of him to
a different spot. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, let's go through the movie so we can talk about each, because there's so many things that there's so many things that you get and there's so many things that you miss each time. But just like you said, it starts out with the hats and then it shows him entering the machine and you hear Michael Caine talking about the prestige, just like, or the three acts of a magic trick. And he goes in and we see that he falls through into, we see that Hugh Jackman falls through a trapdoor. He falls into a
tank of water.
Thank you. And, and Christian Bale is sitting there just watching him. And you could tell that he is dying. Hugh Jackman is dying. And Christian Bale is just watching him. And then the next scene, we go to the courtroom.
Mm-hmm.
And this is down the line, pretty much near the end of the film.
Yeah.
And Christian Bale is on trial and they're talking about the magic trick and Michael Caine. It's almost as if he was just explaining that to the court, what a magic trick consists of. Right. Yeah. And so he's there and he sees his daughter with Fallon. This is the first time that we see Fallon. And the daughter waves. So our attention is to her, not to this guy who's with her.
Misdirection.
Yep. Just like,
misdirection.
We don't know who it is. Like, it's just some guy that she's with. And he waves at her. Now, this is the thing that I'm going to go through. So there's two twins.
Yeah.
Christian Bale plays two distinct characters. Mm-hmm. There's only a few times that we don't really know who it is, and they're very minor parts.
And we don't know what their actual names are, but the names that they go by are Alfred and Freddy. Those are are the two personalities.
Yeah, you know? And it is funny because in the book, I guess their names are Albert and Frederick.
Okay. And then they combined their names to Alfred.
And Fred, right?
That makes sense.
Yeah.
And one of them prefers to be called Alfred and the other one prefers to be called Freddy.
Mm-hmm. And there's what, so to make this easy, at least on myself, how I distinguish them, I call them the good Borden and the bad Borden.
Absolutely. And Freddy's the bad one.
Albert's the good one. Al is the good one. Yeah.
Absolutely.
And so the bad one, bad Borden, is on trial.
Yes.
He's the one in there. Good Borden is the one with his daughter.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So throughout this, we'll just kind of say either if it's good Borden or bad Borden. I figure that's an easy way to kind of distinguish them.
Sure.
So anyway, he's in the courtroom and Michael Caine, whose name is Cutter, they're all trying to figure out the prestige of this trick. And he says, I can't tell you, like, I have the right to sell it. And if I tell you, it'll be giving away my livelihood. Right.
Yeah.
So the judge is like, hey, you can reveal it to me and I won't tell anybody. And then we kind of, let's see, after that.
But he also, he kind of explains too, like, Michael Caine's position is understandable. Like, these two men, we come to find out in the movie, had this lifelong rivalry and this hatred of each other. But Michael Caine's like, I found, Borden you know, locking Hugh Jackman's character in this tank that has a particular significance to them. And like, I think that he sabotaged the trick so that he could, you know, murder him. And basically Bad Borden gets convicted of the murder of Hugh Jackman's character. And then we start reading their diaries. We go into Hugh Jackman.
You cut to the middle of the movie when Hugh Jackman is in Colorado.
Yep.
And he gets to Colorado and he's got a limp. So you know that in the middle of the movie, he gets a limp, right? So he goes up and he's like, oh, the whole town has electricity. He goes to see Tesla.
Yeah.
So Nikola Tesla is a character in this movie. He goes to see him.
By the way, are you watching closely?
Oh, and your tattoo. Don't you have a tattoo?
I do have a tattoo. Which is harder to see. I don't know how to get it into the camera, but I have a
right there. David,
I'm wearing David Bowie plays Nikola Tesla in this movie, and it's awesome.
He's in barely any of the movie, but he makes an impact.
He's awesome. He is awesome. Yeah.
He is like, and it's kind of crazy. Like, the more you watch it, the more you're like, okay, he keeps telling him not to do it. But anyway, we'll get to that.
Yeah.
We'll get to that. Mm-hmm. But yeah, David Bowie's Tesla. We don't see him. Hugh Jackman goes up and he goes to Tesla's compound, and then Andy Serkis, the great Andy Serkis, he comes out and he knows who he is. And he's like, hey, I'm staying down in town. Like, I want Tesla to build a machine for me that he built for somebody else.
Right.
So it's all kind of laying the groundwork for what is going on.
And this is like Andy Serkis before he was Andy Serkis.
Yeah.
Too, which
is
cool.
It was. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yep. Yeah. So let's see. And then, so they both have each other's diaries. That's something we find out that Hugh Jackman is reading Borden's diary, and
Borden's in prison. Bad Borden's in prison reading Hugh Jackman's diary.
Well, and we forgot something as well. We forgot something. So when Borden is in prison, he meets with a guy named Owens, who's a solicitor.
Right.
And Owens works for Lord Caldlow.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, oh, he's an amateur magician. He's really interested in the case. He's going to buy all these things. And
you're dying anyway. Would you sell all your tricks to him? Like, if you're dying, why don't you sell your tricks to Lord Caldlow? Yeah.
Yeah. And this is the thing that I never really realized until these last few times of watching it. He says, Lord Caldwell will take care of your daughter. And he says, well, Fallon's going to take care of him. And he's like, oh, Fallon, someone who has as little of a past as you.
Dude, again, this movie is playing in your face the entire time. Like
the entire time.
It's just like blatant stuff where he's like, nobody knows who this Fallon guy is. He's got he has as mysterious of a past as you do. And it's like, if you're paying attention, if you're watching closely, why would the screenplay say that about these characters so early in the movie and be like, both Fallon and Borden have mysterious pasts and nobody knows who Fallon is?
Yeah.
Why would that be mentioned at all if Fallon's not significant to Borden's prestige?
Exactly. So he says, like, oh, he said the court ordered that she be taken away, so she's going to be going into foster care, or she'll be an orphan, right? And I never really noticed that before, and I was like, oh, that's pretty, that's why he's going to sell his tricks to Lord Caldlow.
To save his daughter.
Lord Caldlow can save his daughter.
Yeah.
So he says, okay, he'll do it. And then we go into, but he gives him, Owens gives him the diary of
Algier, who is
Robert Algier, who is Hugh Jackman.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So then he starts reading the diary. We go to Colorado. He tells Tesla he's going to be there. And then it goes back to the very beginning of their relationship.
And they were young men who were kind of working as assistants to this magician, where they would, pretend to be audience members, and they would come up and tie up Robert Algier's wife, they would use these knots that she would kind of slip out of. She would drop into the tank of water that Hugh Jackman eventually dies in, that we as the audience at this point in the movie know that's the same tank that Hugh Jackman died in at the end at the end of the film. But now we see that they do this trick with Hugh Jackman's wife, and they have this conversation afterward backstage where, like, and this is Bad Borden.
Bad Borden
really wants to try this other knot called the Langford double that he feels like will hold tighter. But Michael Caine's character Cutter says, you can't do that because it's not a wet knot and she won't be able to slip it. And she assures both Hugh Jackman and Cutter, I think I can slip it. It's okay.
Yeah.
And, Bad Borden, who's very arrogant and he's just like, He's like, it's a tie, and not it'll hold. I promise. The lane for double is bad.
It's a bet or not. Yeah. And it really like he is very much, and this really goes into his character, because bad Borden and the good Borden is this way to an extent as well. But bad Borden wants to push magic. He is all about the magic tricks. He's about the magic tricks. Sorry.
Yeah. I wonder what you think about this too, because I also I think they both really like magic.
They
but
do.
I think that bad Borden is more of the showman. I think he likes to we talk about how like sometimes Alfred's not a very good performer, and he's that good Borden is just a little less of like a performer, and bad Borden's like more of a showman, and he's more of a
what I perceive it as is that good Borden is like the ingenuer. He can create the magic, and bad Borden is good at it as well. Mm-hmm. But good Borden is the one who figures it out quicker and who understands it immediately. And then bad Borden is the one who can perform it, and he is good at that as well. But that's kind of the dynamic that I see, that good Borden's a little bit smarter at coming up with the tricks, and bad Borden is better at performing them.
I think that's right. In this is the next scene when Borden meets his wife. When is that where we go next?
So he complains about the tricks, and then they go to they say Chinaman. They go see
this is great.
Chengunsi, or I forgot his name, but they go see the magician, the Chinese magician.
Cutter tells them, whoever can tell me how he does the
fishbowl trick.
The fishbowl trick. I'll give you 5 minutes on stage with this
with the guy who appears at the end of the movie.
They go and watch this guy who he's this old Chinese guy.
Yes.
Who walks around on stage with like he can barely move, and he does this amazing trick where he reveals this giant fishbowl, and Christian Bale's character knows how it's done immediately. And he points it out to Hugh Jackman, and he says, everything about this guy's life is the act. Everything about his life is the trick. He walks around carrying things between his legs all the time, and he makes it look like he walks with a limp all the time, so that no one suspects that this frail old man would be able to carry things between his legs.
Yes.
And again, this is the movie. Once again, it does it again and again and again. Once again, the movie telling us the reason why Christian Bale knows this is because that's what Christian Bale does.
Yes. He says that's the real trick. First of all, this I think is good Borden. Say they made a
absolutely
because he is very good. Borden is much more tame.
Yeah.
And he's like pretty even keeled, and he figures it out immediately. That's why I think he's really more the ingenuer, right? And so he says, that's the trick.
Yeah.
The trick is, that's the only way that you can really get out, you know, make a great performance, is if you live your trick.
Yep.
Which is what he's doing. His brother are doing.
He's always trying to explain to Algier that like real good magic requires risk and sacrifice, and like, and you have to sacrifice for your art and stuff like that. And
you got to get your hands dirty. So there's a few things they talk about. You got to sacrifice. You got to get your hands dirty. And
I think bad Borden always says, get your hands dirty. Good Borden says sacrifice.
Yeah. I think you're right. Mm-hmm. I think actually, if I went back, that's probably exactly what it is.
Mm-hmm.
But he says, you know, you got to get your hands dirty. And I noticed this on, let's see. So I noticed this on this rewatch as well. Whenever Hugh Jackman goes on stage, like when he's the plant and he goes on stage, he bows to the crowd.
Yeah.
And we'll get to that later, why that's important to him. But I noticed that this time that he's always like playing for the crowd, because he is a very good showman. His character is a good showman. But anyway,
Jackman cares much more about the adoration of the crowd than he does about really the craft of magic.
Exactly.
Even the way that Hugh Jackman goes about doing his transported man trick eventually isn't about being a great magician. It's just about beating Borden.
Exactly.
It's just about,
So he's talking after that show, he's talking with his wife. And he reveals how the guy does it. You see him with the fishbowl between his legs. And this part also, this is the part that I didn't get until like the third or fourth time I saw it. And maybe even more than that. I've seen this movie a ton. Mm-hmm. But he's talking to his wife, and he's like, I can't imagine. Hugh Jackman says, I can't imagine living a life as someone else, which he's referring to
the Chinese performer.
Chinese performer. But he is actually, because she says, well, what do you call changing your name or whatever? He is not Robert Angier.
Right.
He is Lord Caldlow.
Like, yeah.
He is. So that he is living a different life.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
And this is when they tell you, he's like, oh, changing your name is hardly living a different life.
Right? Yeah.
He's like, I don't want my family to be worried about my theatrical endeavors.
Right.
And so he doesn't want
his family to be embarrassed by his theatrical endeavors, which means his family, which means he comes from means and his family is of elevated status, which is why he's a lord. And he's like independently wealthy. He's Lord Caldlow. So I never caught that. So that's why he's able to shift over to this other persona after he dies, because it's actually who he legally is.
And he says in that moment, he says, I've always been Lord Caldlow.
Yeah.
And so it's crazy. That's where it's revealed that he is someone else.
I want to really quickly too say, if anyone heard Kramer say Chinaman earlier,
I know. And I do.
That's a quote from the movie.
Yes. Thank you for saying. And I do apologize. That's what they say. That's why I tried to quote it. I apologize if that made anybody upset, but
as we were talking about, I was like, you know, we should clarify that.
Yeah, let's clarify. Yeah, and that was from the movie.
That's from
he is a Chinese performer. Yeah, I apologize, but yes. Yeah. Thank you for clarifying that.
Yeah, but anyway, is it after this that Alfred meets his wife? This is a great scene too. Every scene in this movie is telling you how the trick is done. Every scene in that's what's so my girlfriend's like a screenwriter. And so I'm sitting there with her watching this movie going like, how are you, is this, cuz I'm watching it going, this is heavy-handed. Like after having seen it, I've seen this movie probably 15 times now, and I'm like, at this point I'm going, this movie's laying it on thick. It's in your face. And I keep, I keep looking at her going, are you picking this up? Are you seeing that, like, this? So this
that's
is a great
what I do
scene.
With my kids. Yeah.
Yeah. And it's like Christian Bale's character, who is good Borden.
Good Borden. Yeah.
Good Borden is doing some tricks for some people in the town. And he does this trick where.
Well, it's another magician.
Oh, he's assisting another magician.
Yeah.
He's assisting another magician, and they do a disappearing bird trick, and it's a bird in a cage, and then the cage disappears, and then the bird comes back, and this little boy in the audience starts crying, and Christian Bale comes out and talks to the little boy, and he says, it's okay, he came back, and he goes, but what happened to his brother?
Yeah.
And it's like, that line is just like, oh my gosh, what happened to his brother?
And then it's so cool because Borden is like, that's a smart lad, your son, and she says, and no, he's my nephew.
Christian Bale's performance in this movie is phenomenal.
It's
the way
crazy.
The way that he carries the difference between the two brothers, and like that, like these moments of recognition on his face, where the little kid says, "What happened to his brother?" and you see immediately on his face, like, "Whoa, wow,
yeah, like, got it."
Like, not a lot of people see that, know, and like, that's a smart kid you've got there,
Yeah.
And then she goes, "Oh, this is my nephew," and then
Well, and it is pretty funny because again, this movie is telling you what's going to happen.
Right.
One brother dies and the other one doesn't. Right.
Right. Right.
And he even says, right, Borden says, you were the lucky one today. And then he dumps out the dead brother.
Right.
Which is pretty crazy. And I told that to my kids. I was like, hey, you remember that scene? Like, I took him upstairs and then I told him about the birds. Like, remember when the kid said, where's his brother? And they both went, what? And my son like went around the corner. He's like, I can't even believe it. Again.
There's so much like my girlfriend afterward was, she just kept being like, she goes, I honestly, like, the whole time watching it was just kind of like, yeah, this is like, it's entertaining. Yeah. She goes, and now as I'm just sitting and thinking about it, I'm like, every single scene in that movie had something that was talking.
Yeah.
And I'm like, yeah, it's crazy.
Yeah.
So what happens after that? Does he follow home?
Yeah. Well, they're waiting for him. He gives the kid a coin. Right. And he says, he says, don't ever, everybody will tell you the secret, but you never give them the secret because they don't care about it once they find out what the truth is.
Yeah. Right?
So he goes back, he takes her back to her apartment, and then this is a scene
where it's like the movie is just blatantly.
Yeah.
He's like,
oh, I'd love a cup of tea. She's like, well, my landlord won't let me. And so he's like, oh, you think that lock can hold me? He walks away. She goes inside her apartment. And then Bad Borden is there and he's like, oh, what do you want? Cream and sugar. Right.
Yeah.
And he's like, And she just laughs. She thinks it's so funny. And
the fact that everyone on first watch, every time everyone's watching this movie for the first time, you just take it as though, oh, Christian Bale's character is a magician, so he did a magic trick. Yep. But it's like, yep, that's an impossible magic trick.
Yeah.
You can't do that. You can't walk down the stairs and then teleport into a person's apartment. Yeah. Like that's that, you know, but you literally just kind of go, oh, this is just movies being like bad at writing magic. You know, like you just sort of write it off as like, oh, the movie's doing a cheeky little like magic, but it's like that's not a possible magic trick. Like
that's impossible.
And and her character just sort of giggles at it too. It's like, and she should be like, hey, what the crap?
Yeah, you know? Like that. But how did that happen? But she laughs it off.
Yeah, she laughs it off. It's charming.
Yeah, yeah, it's charming. And then we cut back to the end, and Cutter is talking to the judge, and he's talking about the machine. And he's like, oh, this is the machine that, you know, he said. And then Cutter says, well, this machine, you know, came from a man who can do what magicians pretend to do.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, and the judge is like, well, I'm sure there's a harmless explanation. He's like, no, that's the thing, is that this is real. Mm-hmm. And he's totally serious.
Yeah.
And the judge is like, okay, right. So it's just kind of a cool scene. It's a really nice, like, setting of the mood.
And I remember the first time I saw this really piqued my interest, because I was like, oh, we're not just talking about like magic tricks anymore. We're talking about like supernatural stuff.
Yeah, we are. And then we actually go to the death of Hugh Jackman's wife. So they do the same trick. They go up on stage. Hugh Jackman is tying her legs, and then Borden is tying her wrists.
There's kind of a nod between Borden and her that he's going to do the Langford double.
Yeah, he changes the knot and he does it. She gets in the tank, falls in the tank, and then the magician is like, looks at Cutter and is like, she's not out. You got to come save her.
This great thing that he does both times we see this, where Cutter's backstage with a stopwatch and an axe.
Yes.
And it shows you kind of like the danger that, even though this isn't, it's all planned and it's all part of the act, and it's, you know, she's a trained escape artist and everything like that, it's still possible that she might get stuck and he would have to come and break the glass with, you know.
Right.
And so, yeah, that's what happens.
Yeah, he tries to break the glass. She is drowning. Mm-hmm. Like, it's very clear that she's, you know, she's in there. He's hitting it with like everything he has, and she drowns. He finally gets the tank open, and Hugh Jackman's like just trying to pat her face. And at this point, CPR was not invented, so they couldn't really revive anybody. So they have no idea what to do. Right. And she dies.
Yeah.
She dies. And then we see Hugh Jackman like not practicing drowning, just like seeing what it's like to drown.
Yeah.
Which is also really great foreshadowing in the end.
Yep. Yep. Really great foreshadowing. He's grieving and he's dunking his face into a tank of water, but it's also, and then, we go to the funeral, which is, you know, we have this great line where Cutter, to try to comfort Algier, says to him, you know, I once had a friend who drowned, you know, for like 5 minutes off of the boat, and he was rescued. And when we asked him, you know, what was it like drowning? And he said, it was like going home. And he says this to him to kind of comfort him. And then this is good Borden.
Good Borden shows up. That's
good
what
Borden,
I'm
Borden yep.
shows up.
Good Borden shows up to the funeral to express his condolences to Algier, who asks him, what knot did you tie? And again, this movie it's pulling no punches whatsoever. He says, I've been asking myself that same question and I just don't know. And
he's telling the truth.
And he's telling the truth. I've been fighting with my brother. We've been back at our place going, what did you do? I've been asking my brother, what did you do? And my brother won't tell me. He just is like, you know,
it's either he won't tell him, or Good Borden said, don't tell me so I can actually say, I don't know.
Yeah. Right?
Or don't ever. Whatever it was, he doesn't know. Good Borden does not know what knot was tied.
Yeah.
And it's I've got to say, this scene is so beautiful.
Yeah.
Beautifully shot. So this movie was nominated for 2 Academy Awards, production design and cinematography.
Mm.
And it's very well, it should have been nominated for more, in my opinion, but
those
two
should have been nominated for best original screenplay.
It should have been.
Yeah.
Well, actually it's adapted. It's a book. So
okay. Best adapted screenplay. Best actor, Christian Bale. For
yeah,
sure.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Uh-huh,
but Wally Pfister, he shot the movie. Absolutely beautiful. And Nathan Crowley did the production design. Also, just this scene. I remember seeing this in the theater and I was like, this is amazing. Like, it just looks so beautiful. And the whole movie is shot so well. Oh. So I wish they would have gotten those because they deserved them, I felt. But anyway, that's a great scene. And it's really emotional because he walks away and you could tell Hugh Jackman is very upset.
Yeah.
And then after that, we go to Borden's apartment or wherever he's using to practice his tricks. And this is where we meet Fallon. He's like, oh, this is Fallon. He's my engineer. And he's like, oh, you know, he says a line. I can't remember what he says, but it's kind of like,
it's like the only thing he says in the entire movie. And it's like very quiet and like,
he
muted.
Says a couple things, but yeah, it's,
yeah.
It's not many.
But also, like, we've seen Fallon before. Yeah. And again, every time we see Fallon, it's just sort of like, it should be screaming at the audience, who is that? You know, this is, we know that Christian Bale's character has a big secret. We know that there's a big secret to a big secret trick he's trying to do.
Yeah.
And there's this character, Fallon, and somehow, the first time you watch this movie, you just sort of accept the weirdness of Fallon.
You do. Because he's like, oh, he's going to help me with my tricks. And you think, okay, it's just some guy who's going to, he's his ingenueur, the one who comes up with the tricks. So, and then he's like, she's like, well, we can't afford to pay him. Fallon leaves, understandably so. He leaves and then she's like, we can't afford to pay him. He's like, oh, I'll share half my food with him. Right. Which he's probably been doing his whole life. So, and then he's like, okay, I want to show you this trick. It's the bullet catch. And he's like, shoot me. Right. She's like, no, I can't shoot you. And so she points the gun over, she shoots, and he's like, oh, and he catches it. And then she's like, well, how do you do it? And he's like, well, it's magic. You know, I can't tell you. Yeah. And then Sarah gets mad.
Yeah.
She's like, well, then you can't do it. And this is actually the point where you can see that this bothers Bad Borden, because this is Bad Borden.
Yeah.
He's like, I can't do it. Like, he's like, because Bad Borden doesn't really like Sarah.
Yeah.
And this is where it kind of starts, at least for me on this watch.
But it also just shows you like the sacrifice of these two brothers that Bad Borden or Freddie has to be willing to pretend to court this woman that he's not interested in.
Yeah.
And that's a big ask of your brother.
I mean,
he's doing his best. But when Sarah says stuff like this to him, he's like,
well, yeah, because he reveals the trick. He's like, okay, well, you put the ramrod in and it's in the ramrod. She's like, well, now that you know it is quite silly, you know. And he gets kind of like, he's like, you know, this is a really dangerous trick. Like someone could put a button or they could put a bullet in there.
Yeah.
And she's like, well, you better be careful because we've got another person that you have to share with. Or no, sorry, she tells him that before she does the trick.
She's pregnant.
Yeah. And he's like, oh, we should have told Fallon.
Right. We should have told Fallon because Fallon is probably actually the guy that you conceived the baby with.
Yeah. Most likely.
Yeah.
Most likely.
Yeah.
So he's like, oh, we should have told Fallon. He shows her the trick. And then he's like, well, you know, they kind of have that little bit of fight. And he's like, well, it's not a big deal because I love you very much. And she's like, say it again. And he says, I love you. And she's like, no, you don't love me today. And he's like, what are you talking about? And she's like, some days you mean it, but some days you don't. And it makes it better on the days she actually likes it when she's like, it makes it more special when you do actually mean it.
But again, this is the movie just telling us like that that this man is divided, that he is, some days he loves Sarah, some days he doesn't. Some days he's very nice and level-headed, and some days he's kind of arrogant. Like, it's all there.
It is all there. Yep. Yeah. And the first time I saw this, I was like, that's dumb. Like, I thought in my head, like, that's a little weird and cheesy.
Mm-hmm.
But every time after, I'm like, I love this.
That
I
Sarah,
love that he does this.
On some Sarah level, she I think that on some level, Sarah and eventually Olivia can always tell the difference between Alfred and Freddie.
Exactly.
Know? Yeah.
And so I love that she says this. And the way that Christian Bale performs this, after this, I was like, you can tell he's really forcing it.
Oh, yeah.
Like, he is forcing that I love you. And it does not feel genuine.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
And so when he does say, I love you the other times, you can tell it's good Borden, right? So just a really, really like good performance and good screenwriting. Everything is great.
So then we go to the bullet catch, don't we?
Yeah. Let's see. So he doesn't love her.
Yeah.
Yep. And then, So he goes to the show.
I think because of how kind of like awkward the showmanship is here, I think that it's good Borden who's
it's for sure tonight. Good Borden. It is.
So it's good Borden who's performing tonight, and we see he's kind of an awkward showman. He's doing this sort of awkward. He's doing a kind of a party like trick with rings, and people are laughing at him, and they're heckling him, and they're you know, and I think like we kind of see that he's like, okay, well, fine, we'll do the bullet catch, we'll do the, you know.
Yeah, he's like, this is what you want, and he points the gun at the whole audience.
Yeah,
and then he like tells Fallon, all right, get somebody. And the person who comes up, the volunteer that comes up on stage, which you can see Hugh Jackman in the background.
Mm-hmm.
Hugh Jackman comes up and he puts a bullet in the gun.
And he's wearing a disguise. He's kind of like wearing.
He's got like a goatee on, and like his hair is a little different.
That's the other thing, is there's so many scenes where our main characters wear disguises in this movie, and we know they're wearing disguises. Like, there are so many scenes where Christian Bale will be wearing fake facial hair, and we know he's wearing fake facial hair, or where Hugh Jackman is wearing fake facial hair, and we see these characters putting on disguises and and we still don't clock Fallon as possibly a guy,
a guy wearing makeup and a disguise.
Yeah, yeah,
nope, we never get it. No, nope.
Yeah.
So he gets, and you see this a few times too, like Hugh Jackman like pushes his way up to get the gun.
Yeah.
He makes sure he's the one, and he gets it, and then he points the gun at him, and immediately Borden can tell who it is, and he puts his hands up, right? And he's like, which knot did you tie? And he says, I don't know. Yeah. And that's why, you know, that's one of the reasons why you know that it's good Borden,
right?
Is because good Borden does not know.
Yeah.
He truly does not know which knot was tied.
Mm-hmm.
And so Hugh Jackman closes his eyes. Fallon also is shown in this scene a lot. Mm-hmm. And he's kind of like sneaking up on him. And right before he pulls the trigger, Fallon grabs his hand and he shoots off two of good Borden's fingers.
Yep.
And he gets away. Hugh Jackman gets away, and he's got two fingers that are blown off.
Yeah.
And
Yeah. So then are we back to...
Well, and then we go, and then we go back to Hugh Jackman in Colorado.
Right. That's what I thought.
So this is the middle of the movie, because Hugh Jackman is looking for what knot was tied.
Right.
And he finally reads in the diary, and in the diary, it's like, I keep telling myself and I keep thinking about it, but I cannot remember what knot was tied.
And it says, one half of me is sure I didn't tie a Langford double, and the other half of me thinks that maybe I did.
Yeah.
And so it's like, there is an admission there.
There is.
But it's, it's still... It's all there. It's all being kind of honest, but Hugh Jackman frustratedly is like, how could he not know?
Yeah.
How could he?
And he's really frustrated.
Yeah.
So, but Hugh Jackman gets together with Cutter, with Michael Caine, and he's like, oh, we're going to do a magic trick. We're going to, you know, I need someone. No one's going to work with me. You know, the person who killed, this person's magician's assistant.
Yeah.
And Hugh Jackman's like, well, the only person that'll work with you is the one who knows that, you know,
you weren't responsible for it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. And so, but they come up with this new way of doing the disappearing bird trick, which I've always loved this. This is like this is a really cool little detail of like, and it's like, it's also like a real contraption from like this, it's like this contraption that Hugh Jackman wears as a vest is like spring loaded. And it's basically a bird cage that you hold, and then it has these like spring components that go down the sleeves of your arms. And when you pull them away, the cage rips away.
Yeah.
And Hugh Jackman he's told him, I don't want to kill birds on stage to get cheap thrills. And, you know, and Cutter says to him something like, well, that's the gig. That's the job. You've got to get your hands dirty if you want to be a good magician, you know? And then, so he shows him this new thing, and he goes, and here's the best part. You don't even need to kill the bird. He goes, this contraption allows you to save the bird. And he goes, oh, I thought I had to get my hands dirty. And he's like, well, you just needed to be willing.
I wanted to make sure you would.
Yeah.
Which,
and this is also where they hire Scarlett Johansson. Yes. She comes into the movie, and they hire her to be his like lovely assistant. And
she's a good distraction, and she performs. And he does say this, like, she's really good at performing.
Yeah.
Which will come up later as well. So she's his assistant, but once he's performing the magic trick on stage, he asks for volunteers. And on this one, I actually really like, because they show.
Yeah, this is great.
Scarlett Johansson points to some guy, but Christian Bale stands up and then just goes in front of the guy.
Yep. He's not selected. Yeah. Christian Bale's not the guy that's selected. And that's I don't think I noticed that the first few times I watched this movie, but it's a fun detail that this other guy gets up and Christian Bale just cuts him off and just gets in front of him.
Yep.
And it's such a great way that they shoot this because, again, Christian Bale's wearing a disguise. He's wearing a fake beard. And he walks up on stage and he puts his hand on top of the cage. And the way that Algier finds out it's Borden is he sees the fingers and he looks up and then Borden snaps the cage.
And it breaks the girl's fingers and it kills the bird.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, in this scene, it really doesn't matter if it's good Borden or bad Borden.
Yeah.
I think it's probably good Borden just because that's like the only, because he was the one who got shot.
Yeah.
So anyway,
but do you think by this point, we could already be in the place where he's taken his where Bad Borden has also taken his fingers off?
Or? Oh yeah, he's already taken his fingers.
Yeah. So
I imagine they did that like the day after or a couple days after.
Well, because it's got to be at least like a week after because there's that great shot where Sarah is helping him clean his hand.
Yeah.
And he says, "Sarah, that bloody hurts."
Yeah.
And then she goes, she goes, "Man, it looks as bad as the first day that it happened." And it's because it is the first day that happened. It just happened like the day before. And
Mm-hmm. Yeah. No, that is a great scene. So I think, it's either good or bad. I think it's,
So he sabotages Algier's new act and kind of like hurts his, you know, they're just kind of going back and forth and hurting each other's reputations and stuff like that. But is this when we get to him meeting Tesla for the first time? Or,
well, it goes back to Colorado. He meets up with Allie, it's Andy Serkis.
Yeah.
And he's like, "Oh, let me show you some stuff." And they go into this field and they see the light bulbs. Again, another beautiful shot.
Just it's
all
amazing.
These light bulbs on the ground.
Yeah.
And the scene itself doesn't really serve much of a purpose other than it looks beautiful. And he realizes that Tesla can do the things that he wants him to do, which he feels is real magic, which is just science.
Tesla, can do some pretty trippy stuff. Yeah.
Yeah. So he's like, it really solidifies for Angier that this is who he, this is what Borden really did. So we get that. And then, we see, then it cuts back to him in the past going to Tesla's presentation.
Right. And he sees Borden at this presentation. Yeah. So he assumes, and Tesla's doing this presentation with, you know, the electricity shooting everywhere. And naturally, this is probably what happened in real life. People in the audience are terrified because it looks very scary. He's trying to explain to them that it's perfectly safe. And, you know, there's this whole kind of side story of like, what's interesting Edison. Too, is we've got this story about the rivalry between these two magicians and we've got this side story about this rivalry between Edison and Tesla.
Yeah.
It's sort of unseen, but it's similarly mirrored.
Well, you know? And the guy who yells, who's like, "That thing's going to blow." Yeah. He is someone who works for Edison.
Yeah.
And he shows up in Colorado later.
Yep.
And he's the one who actually burns everything down. So
yeah,
it's
he's a saboteur.
Cool little
he's a saboteur that's sent to the presentation by Edison.
Exactly.
And it's so interesting because it's like this very similar story to Angier and Borden's rivalry is playing out as a side story.
Yeah,
but Angier sees Borden there. Now, do you think that Borden literally just goes to this presentation as a misdirection for Angier? Do you think
I think he went there too because Cutter says like this type of stuff captures people's imaginations.
Yeah.
I think this is it is good Borden at the presentation because after it he goes and meets with Sarah. Angier follows him and sees that he has a family and it just makes him more infuriated. But he's with Sarah and he says, "I love you," right? He tells her and she's like, "You mean it today?"
Yeah.
And he's like, "Of course I mean it." So that was good Borden. And I think it was more coincidence more than anything. I don't think he was trying to lure Angier.
I guess later on, we do see that he incorporates into his act, Borden incorporates into his act,
the
electricity and stuff as just like sort of showmanship. Just like it's a way to dress it up, but it's not actually the mechanism by which he does the trick.
Correct.
But now we're to the turn really here because this is where we learn about Borden's trick finally, right? This is where Angier finally goes and sees Borden's new act, right?
Oh, yeah. He goes. So, he goes. Let's see. Oh yeah, he says that like, yeah, there's a few little things he's reading. He's reading the diary, and he realizes that like Borden is a divided man.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. He decided. Okay. Yeah. So, because there's a few little things that like kind of go about, like he he talks with Fallon. It goes back to Borden in jail, bad Borden in mm-hmm. jail at the end mm-hmm. of the movie, and he's talking to Fallon.
Yeah.
And he's like, so they decided to take her away. Like he's talking with his daughter, you know, yeah. and this, you know, she gets a pet or something. She wants to name it Sarah, which is a pretty mm-hmm. heartbreaking, you know, realization. Yeah. But, and then he decides basically, he's like, there's nothing we can do. So he basically decides, okay, I'm going to sell my tricks so that our daughter can be safe. And then you can get her later. They never say that, but that's right. basically what they decide.
Right.
And then later we see that Borden is writing down all of his tricks. And this is when he throws the ball up and it falls. And then he chains up the guard, which is just kind yeah. of a funny little scene, like a showmanship scene. I thought that.
There's a funny little like magic trick that he does in the yard in prison.
Yes.
It's also kind of like interesting because they just did Batman Begins together. And it's like yeah. similar to Bruce Wayne being in the prison yard
yeah. Yeah.
at the beginning of Batman Begins and yeah. find it. Yeah.
There are a few similarities. Yeah, it's kind of funny. Yeah. But then, so then after this is when Hugh Jackman finally meets Tesla.
Right.
So we kind of see all that. And then he goes and he meets Tesla. Tesla walks through. Yeah. And we finally get to see, this is pretty much like the midpoint of the movie.
Yeah.
This is kind of like, he shows up, David Bowie shows up, mm-hmm. walks through the electricity, which is such a cool way yeah, to enter
awesome.
The movie. Yeah. And he's like, walks through and he's like, he shakes his hand and he's like, hold out other hand. And he like gives him the bulb and they light the electricity and they light the bulb with their bodies, which is really cool. And then they go out onto the porch. And this is when like David Bowie really shines.
Yeah.
Because he's like, you know, I can't remember how the conversation goes, but basically he's like, have you ever considered the cost? And Hugh Jackman says, well, money's no object. And he's like, I know, but have you considered the cost?
Right.
And he's like, I can recognize an obsession. You need to just let this go. And you need yeah. to just, like, put it away.
He basically tries to dissuade him, like, yeah. like don't do this. This yeah. thing that you're asking me to build for you, it's only going to be bad for you. Trust yeah. me. Like, don't do this. And then, you know, Hugh Jackman basically says, look, man, if you understand obsession, you know you're not going to dissuade me.
Yeah.
So just start making my machine. And he goes, I've already started building it.
Yeah.
You know?
And it really is like, it's pretty yeah. cool because the way that he starts talking, the way that David Bowie starts talking is basically all he's saying is, listen, I can do this. I can make this machine. Because he's like, you know, the first time I changed the world, they herald me as a, you know, as a revolutionary. And, you know, mm-hmm. everybody was happy. But then the next time I tried to do it, they told me to retire. And so he's basically like, listen, I can do this. But do you really want to do this?
And we in the audience at this point, if it's your first time seeing the movie, you still don't know what it yeah. is he's asking him to build. But,
exactly.
But Tesla does. Tesla yeah. knows what he's been asked to build. And so he's like, I can do it. But are you sure you're ready for the
yeah.
the possible ramifications of,
yeah.
of what this could mean? You know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a really great scene. Yeah. Again, it's short, but man, David Bowie, he really makes an impact.
And it also really, I mean, man, it as in the audience, it piques your interest again because you're like, what are we talking about here?
Yeah.
And then I think we go to
yeah.
we go yeah. back in time. And...
Yeah, we go back and this is when he has a scene with Scarlett Johansson. She's living mm-hmm. in the theater. And this is when she's like, they really kind of like fall in love in this scene. Like mm-hmm. he's, you know, she's like, Cutter keeps thinking you'll just give this up. And Hugh Jackman gets really mad. He's like, why would I give it up? I, you know, I lost my wife and he lost a couple fingers. Like, why?
Yeah.
How is that fair? And then she helps him and she's like, well, you got to do this. Like, let me help you with your makeup again. Cause she's a really good performer.
Mm-hmm.
And then he goes and he sees the transported man.
And I love the way that the transported man is first presented to us.
Yeah.
I love that we don't see we don't see it. We see Michael Caine's face.
Yeah.
So he does the transported man and we see Cutter in the audience watching it. And you also hear that the audience doesn't really go wild.
There's like a few claps,
but like, yeah. then it comes back to, you know, them talking about it. And he's like, well, he's not selling it very well. He's like,
well,
you know,
and right before this, Hugh Jackman says, this was the greatest magic trick I've ever seen.
It's the greatest magic trick I've ever seen.
Gives him his new, pretty much his new resolve. He wanted to find out what the knot was before. Now he just wants to steal his trick and figure out how he does it. So he says, it's the greatest magic trick I've ever seen. And then we see Michael Caine, which is such a great performance because all he does is kind of like smirks. Like, oh, that's a good one. That's a good one. But he knows immediately because the next scene they're talking about it. And this is what I love. Again, the heavy handedness of the script, of the screenplay. Cutter is like, I know how he does it. He uses a double. And Hugh Jackman says, no, this is a complicated illusion. Like it's not just that simple. And he's like, well, it's a double. And then Scarlett Johansson says, no, it's the same man. She says, I can see the padded gloves. It's the same man.
Yeah, he wears padded gloves where his two fingers are missing, but the same. Yeah. And so they're having this back and forth of like the same man comes out of that second door.
Yeah.
And Cutter, from the jump, Cutter just like, it's a double.
Yeah.
That's how you do that trick.
Yeah.
And again, we in the audience, like, he's telling us the answer. Yeah. And we're just like, okay, but if it's the same guy, if Scarlett Johansson's saying that the same guy is coming out.
Exactly.
And so we've already been presented with Nikola Tesla, who's been saying, like, we can do something really crazy here, you know. Yeah. So
And so so this is what's so brilliant is because you have two people that are saying it's not a double. Mm-hmm. And we want to believe it's true. We want to believe it, right?
We want to believe that it's the fantastical.
Exactly.
Election.
We do.
That Tesla has simple. Done. Yeah. That it's not and, simple. And Tesla has done some crazy thing.
Exactly. He's found out how to clone himself or transport himself or whatever. And we believe it because we see Hugh Jackman as a protagonist.
Yeah.
And we want him to be right. And then you also have this other person who says, no, it's the same man. So we're immediately thinking, well, Cutter doesn't know what he's talking about. Right. So like, it's so brilliant that they did it this way. Right. And then he's like, well, we've got to steal this trick. And Cutter's like, well, the only way I can do it is if we find a double.
Yeah. I don't know how to do it any other way.
Yeah.
It's the only way to do it. So they decide to find a double, but like make it, they're going to dress it up and make it better. Cause he's like, you can sell the trick better. And I don't care if we're doing it the same way he's doing it or not. The point is, just do it better. Just steal the trick and do it better. And so they go and they find Hugh Jackman a double.
Oh, yeah. And it is funny because they do say, he says, you know, he's a horrible magician. Hugh Jackman says he's a horrible magician. And he says, no, he's an amazing magician. He's a horrible performer.
Right.
And that's again, comes back later with why Bad Borden loves Scarlett Johansson.
Right.
Which we'll talk, but basically she makes him a better performer.
Right.
And he's so obsessed with being a good magician and performer. Mm-hmm. That's why he loves her. Anyway, sorry, I jumped ahead of myself. But they go, we do actually see Good Borden buy them a house. He says that his magic trick is taking off. Mm-hmm. And, you know, that's a good scene. But then they find Gerald Root, who is Hugh Jackman, just with a British accent. And
it's a great performance.
Oh, I love this.
And it's like they've done like some prosthetics on Hugh Jackman with like some false teeth and like a little bit of a different nose. But it's very clear
he does have earlobes. I saw Leo that like they put earlobes on him.
They've done like some really, you know,
make
like,
him look just different,
just
enough.
Different enough, but you can tell that it's Hugh Jackman playing this other character. Yeah. But obviously it's like, it needs to be a guy who looks very, very similar to Hugh Jackman. And so they come up with their own version of the transported man. Yeah. It's sold a lot better. It's dressed up a lot better. Yeah. And
this is funny. This is something I noticed on this rewatch just barely right before we were recording this. He's like, give me a week and I can make him your brother.
Yeah.
And he says, I don't need him to be my brother. I need him to be me.
Ah, great line.
And he says, give me a month. And I was like, oh, he does need him to be his brother. He's got a brother.
Anyway, I don't need him to be my brother. I need him to be me. And it's like, little do you know, what you do need is a twin brother.
Yeah. It's just a cool little detail.
And you don't have one. So that's awesome. Then they do this show. We see, they've got this kind of fun mechanism of how they're doing the trick. Borden comes to watch his act. He can see immediately that Hugh Jackman's not doing the trick.
Yeah.
The right way.
Yeah. He can tell exactly what's happening.
Well, but what's weird is Borden, it's like, Hugh Jackman's doing the trick the same way Borden does it. He's just doing it with a guy that's not identical to him.
Exactly.
You know, so it's like the magic's not as impressive. Yeah. Like it's just not, you know.
Yeah. And actually the it is so funny though, because the way that Hugh Jackman does his trick is so much more
flashy. Theatrical.
And it's so much better because Borden just like bounces the ball, right? And it is cool. It's a cool way to do it. He figures it out and it's a huge hit. And then, but the really cool part about this sequence is that Borden has to take his bows under the stage.
Mm-hmm.
Or I'm sorry. Angier has to take his bows under the stage.
Yeah.
Hugh Jackman. Mm-hmm. And he like bows every night. And right. He like, but that's in the end that comes back. Like he really does want that attention. He wants that bow. He doesn't get it.
Yeah.
He never really gets it. But anyway, it's really cool. He's under the stage and, the show is really taking off.
This whole section of the movie, so we've like the whole first half is like the pledge, where we're just sort of being introduced to the characters and sort of like the pieces. This is all the turn when we're starting to like learn their trick. That it's like, okay, this the trick that's in question is this transported man. This
kind of
teleportation trick.
Yeah,
you know, and the prestige of the film is like how each man eventually does.
Yeah, the trick.
The trick. Yeah.
Yeah. And so the show is going really well, but then at this point, Hugh Jackman tells Scarlett Johansson, "You need to go work for him." And she's like, "Why would I work for him?" He's like, "Well, we need to figure out how the trick is really done." He's like, "Just think about it. How if we had the real transported man, right? Like the if we had the real trick, what we could do." And you could tell that Scarlett Johansson's pretty pissed. Like she doesn't like it. But he's like, you know, you're going to spy on him and you're going to tell him the truth. And he like tries to kiss her and she pulls away.
Yeah. Yeah.
But they're trying to figure it out, or she basically does go to,
He says, tell him the truth. Tell him I sent you to him and that you're mad about it. And, you know, and tell him my secret and that you want to work for him. Yeah.
Yeah.
So she goes to do that. And,
she tells him, you know, the truth. And he tells her how he does it.
Right. Well, he's like, oh, what could his secret possibly be?
Yeah.
Somehow he walks through one door and he emerges from the other one slightly overweight. And if I'm not mistaken, completely drunk. And he's like, it's amazing. How does he do it? You know,
It's pretty great. And she's like, well, he told me to tell you the truth. And he's like, oh, is that the truth? And she's kind of looking at him. And then the scene cuts.
Yeah.
Which is great. And then it goes back to the performance. Hugh Jackman falls and we see that Root is basically caught on. He's like, we need to have a little chat. Right.
Yeah. He understands that he has leverage and that he's like, you guys need to pay me more or I'm going to reveal that I'm your double on stage. And, you know, and so, and then, and Michael Caine's like, man, usually it takes him longer to figure it out. I don't know how he figured it out. And then we do see that Root's an alcoholic, and we see that while he is at a bar one night, Borden approaches him and basically explains to like without it's a really cleverly written scene.
It is,
He just sort of it like incepts the idea into his head. You know, you should blackmail.
He's like, well, I did the trick, but I used a double.
Yeah,
and he's like, oh. Very interesting. Like,
yeah. And then he's like, but like, this bloke, he had complete power over me. So,
yeah. You know. Yeah. He's like, so, and he's like, oh, okay. And he gets the idea. It's a really good scene.
Yeah.
So then the next performance, he falls through the trap door and there's no bag there. So
the next one is he falls through, but Root is sitting
there
and he's like messing with him, you know? Yeah. And
you're right. Yeah.
Yeah.
And so he's like,
but then we get to, he falls through eventually and there's no bag there. That's how he breaks his leg. And he sees Borden, which I think is bad Borden because he's quite the showman. Showman in the scene.
Yeah.
And bad Borden is under the stage and he kind of salutes to him and he pops up. So in this version of the transported man, Algier goes through the trapdoor and Borden comes out, catches the hat and goes, oh, you know, the great Danton.
The great Danton.
Yeah. And then Root is lowered from the rafters, with a sign on that says like it's advertising Borden show across the street. Yeah.
Yeah. And
there simply is too much magic here for me, for my show, across the stage at the across the street at the Pantages.
At the Pantages, and you see Fallon in the audience.
Yep.
And Fallon is laughing. He's laughing. So,
but you can also see this like thing when Fallon's watching him, that it's like it's his brother who's more mild mannered, being like, my brother Freddie, like doing his thing, you know, like being,
So that's great. And then, he goes, so Borden, or sorry, Angier goes and he confronts Scarlett Johansson, and he basically knows that she's fallen in love with him. Mm-hmm. And she's like, well, I got his diary. And he's like, well, he's like, there's a cipher. I can't, do this. She's like, well, I have to have it back to him. You know, like if I don't get it back to him, he's going to know that you took it. And he's like, well, I'll stage a break-in. But he can tell that Scarlett Johansson has fallen in love with Freddie.
Yeah, we also learn there's a nice moment here where like we see kind of like the toll of obsession, that this started out as like revenge for his dead wife.
And
she's kind of saying something like,
bring back your wife?
And he says, I don't care about my wife, I care about his secret. And it's this really kind of like emotionally potent moment.
Sorry, go ahead.
But I think that's another big theme in this movie, is it's that same thing that Tesla is saying to him, like, have you considered the cost? And it's like this cost of this feud that you're obsessed with, this rivalry, this hatred, and also this obsession with becoming the best at something.
Yeah.
It can cost you relationships and, kind of your own moral decency. And this whole kind of theme of getting your hands dirty.
Yeah. I love the performance. Hugh Jackman does an amazing job as well.
Yeah.
We haven't said that because Christian Bale does really amazing. Hugh Jackman also does amazing.
Oh, yeah.
He's really funny when he plays Root, right? But
when
he does say, he says, I don't care about my wife, I care about a secret. He stops himself and he realizes what he just said, but he carries on with it. Like, okay. This is kind of the moment where he really starts to kind of become the antagonist.
Yeah, absolutely.
Like, he becomes the bad guy.
Yeah.
There's not many movies that can make a protagonist become an antagonist.
But that's the interesting, that the does. First time you see this, the first time I saw this movie, you think of Borden as the bad guy.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
And Algier is the good guy for the first half of the movie.
And also, again,
the turn of the film is like in the middle of the movie, they switch roles.
Yeah. And at this point, this is when Borden falls in love with Scarlett Johansson. And so you think, but it really is Freddie. Freddie is really falling in love with Olivia, which makes it even more sad because they have this little sequence where like, he's like, I really do love her. Like, and he's, they're kissing and like, he really does love her. He doesn't love Sarah. He loves her.
Yeah.
But we, as the audience on the first watch, are thinking, what a jerk. Like, this guy is
totally. Creep. Well, there's so many things that we're given in the first half of the film. Like, we think he killed Hugh Jackman's character. This is where this feud led to. It boiled to a point where he murdered him.
Yes.
We also, like, we think all the, we have all these reasons to suspect that, like, he's the more malevolent of the two magicians.
Yeah.
But we don't have all the information. And really at this point though, Hugh Jackman's character starts to become more and more dark, and and it's also sort of like the story is like, well, maybe he's just willing to get his hands dirty now. Cause we do this whole sequence where they kind of trick Fallon into
right after this
right after this, and there's this great, it's like kind of this like little chase sequence where Hugh Jackman misdirects Fallon down an alleyway, and Fallon follows him up because
this is good Borden who's playing Fallon
and he just did the break-in, so they're like, they're trying to get after Hugh Jackman, and Fallon falls through the stairs, which is good Borden, and he falls into a coffin. And this is like gnarly that Michael Caine and Algier nail him into a coffin and then bury him alive.
They do.
And tell bad
Borden,
here's where you can find him, or like you can meet us. So bad Borden shows up, out in the woods. Finally, he's like, I guess you're finally getting your hands dirty.
Yeah.
I like that. Yeah. And he says, write down your secret, Mr. Borden, and we can call it, here. Borden writes down one word, and he goes, not the cipher, your trick.
Yeah.
And he, the trick, the whole trick. And he goes, the cipher is the secret to the trick.
Yeah. The keyword is my method.
The key word to the cipher is my method. And the keyword is Tesla.
Yeah.
And so what he's telling him is, Nikola Tesla built me a magic machine.
Yeah, that's exactly what he wants him to believe.
And that's the misdirect. And so then, but then Hugh Jackman tells him, I buried Fallon in the ground. How fast can you dig?
Yeah. And he's like, Fallon, can you hear me?
Yeah, yeah.
Tell he's genuinely scared.
Yeah, of course.
It's his brother.
It's his brother, and it's also the key to both of their, it's everything. So yeah, anyway, I love the next scene that we see these two brothers in, because the way that they show up at this restaurant, and Bad Borden is like drunk and angry and pissed, and he had like a terrible day. Yeah. And you know, and he brings Olivia with him. He just brings his mistress with him too.
And it is pretty crazy, because his voice is hoarse, which I think is cool. But then he sits closer to Olivia. So Bad Borden sits closer to Olivia. And then Fallon, who is Good Borden, sits closer to Sarah. And it's kind of like this cool little way that they block the scene. But and you get Freddie, Bad Borden is really upset. And he's like, but Sarah tells, you know, she knows, like, you brought Olivia. Mm-hmm. And she's like, can Mr. Fallon, can you please escort Olivia back home? So then Good Borden and Olivia leave. So it's just Bad Borden and Sarah, and they get in a fight.
Yeah.
And she tells him, like, you need to tell me, like, what your secret is. And he's like, you know, I can't. I think this is when she first says, I can't live like this.
Yeah.
And he says,
well, Sarah, you can't. Yeah. Yeah. You know, but secrets are my life, you know?
Yeah.
And then she goes, do you love me? And he says, not today. Yeah.
No, not that part.
That's later.
That's later.
That's later. That's right. Yeah.
Yeah. Cause they get in a fight, and she's just upset. So.
Yeah.
You see her start drinking. Like, she starts drinking a lot more.
Right.
And so it just kind of sets up her demise, unfortunately. So
yeah.
And
we're back in Colorado after this, right?
Yeah. I have to say, Rebecca Hall, she's awesome in this movie as well.
Rebecca Hall's, everyone's great in this movie. Rebecca Hall's fantastic in this movie. But yeah, we're back in Colorado.
Yeah.
Tesla has finished the machine for Algier.
I guess this is,
because before the Edison guys come in and blow up the laboratory, he finishes the machine, right?
Right. Well, he goes, so Edison's men arrive.
Right.
But then we see, this is when Algier finds the diary, and he finds out that this is when Olivia betrayed him.
Right. Yeah. So this is a great turn too. Yeah, yeah. He's reading the diary, and he realizes that the whole thing, the whole Tesla, you know, keyword to the cipher, it was all a trick. The diary was fake. It was all fake. And
Olivia betrayed him.
Uh-huh. Yep. And we go back to the scene where Freddie said to her, so this is the truth, is it? And then she goes, no, I'm actually, this is what he told me to tell you.
Yeah.
And then she goes, actually, I hate him. I'm mad that, you know, and we find out she helped him.
Yeah.
She helped
him to find Root.
Yeah.
And we see kind of their relationship. And this was a little detail that I thought was cool, because she tells him in this scene, she's like, you're hiding your biggest strength, which is your fingers.
Yeah.
She's like, you need to show them off, because it's really hard to do those tricks. And he's like, yeah, it really is hard.
Yeah.
And they really do start to love each other. Mm-hmm. And after this scene, he doesn't wear gloves anymore.
Yeah.
So on stage, he always wore gloves, but he doesn't anymore.
She's right. It's like thing that will make the trick more impressive is that a man missing two fingers is coming out of the other door. It's like, you get, let people see that so that they know it's not a double, so that they know, you know. So that's pretty cool. That's a cool little moment. Yeah. But yeah, now Algier is like, oh, crap. I just paid Tesla a bunch of money. And he didn't build Borden a magic machine. So he runs up to the laboratory.
Yeah. And he's all mad.
He's like, Tesla, what are you doing with my money? And Tesla goes, hey, the machine works. It's finished. We can do it. So he takes his hat. He takes Mr. Algier's hat, his top hat.
No, he takes the cat. This is when he puts the cat in.
Oh, right. Yeah.
So Tesla's like, we have to try it. We have to try it on something else to see if it works.
Yeah.
And so he puts the cat in and they do the machine, and the machine goes.
He's done it with his hat before.
We forgot that scene. He went and he's like, it's not working. So it kind of made him upset, but this time he's really mad.
Yeah.
Algier really mad. And they try it on the cat. Nothing happens. He leaves, and he's like, well, I hope whatever you did with my money was worth it.
Yeah.
He's walking out, and this is when he sees the cat and
sees two cats. He sees two cats fighting with each other.
Yeah.
And they're clone cats of each other.
Yes.
And then we see the first shot of the movie, which is all these hats lying. Yeah. And this is the very first shot of the movie that we're, so what we learn is that the machine was working. It was instead of teleporting the cat or the hat, it was
cloning
it and sending the clone like 100 yards away.
Yeah.
And so there's this great line. This line is so good, where he understands that the machine works now. And he goes, also, you know, my recommendation would be don't use this machine. Again, don't use the machine. But then he's leaving and he goes, don't forget your hat. And he goes, which one's my hat? And Tesla says, they're all your hat, Mr. Angier. Yeah. And that's pretty such cool. an important line because when he says, am I the man in the box or the man up there? It's you're both of them. You're both of those men. They're both you.
It's makes like it pretty crazy.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So we cut back to Borden. And this is good Borden. He's with his daughter. She's like, can we go to the zoo? And he's like, oh, I can't. And he's like, but you know, you told me you'd take me to the zoo yesterday. He's like, okay, then we'll go to the zoo. And you could tell that Sarah is really upset.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, the only person that is, you know, competing for my affection is our daughter.
Mm-hmm.
And she's like, well, you mean it, which makes it so hard
when you
so
it's the inverse of what you said earlier.
Which mm-hmm. I love, which is really really great little thing. And so it's really hard for her, you can tell.
Mm-hmm.
And so then he goes and talks to Fallon. A couple things I noticed on this one.
Mm-hmm.
So he talks to Fallon. He's like, the little girl wants to go to the zoo. He's like, right. He's like, if you could take her, that'd be great. So they obviously just switch off with their daughter.
Sure.
You know? And but then he says, he's like, you know, she knows.
Yeah.
And he's like, we as the audience, if you have never seen this, are thinking, oh, she knows about the affair.
Yeah.
She knows about the affair. But no, he's like, she knows. She's catching on to the fact that we are twins.
This was one of the points that I paused it and I looked at my girlfriend and I said, any thoughts? And she goes, nope, I got nothing. And I was like, okay. I'm like, yeah, because like literally like he's talking to, again, the weirdest character ever, Fallon, who just like barely speaks and looks so weird every time we see his face. And he's like, Sarah knows. She knows that there's something weird going on.
And he says, if you could help me with that, I'd really appreciate it.
Yeah.
Telling him like,
please try to do a better job pretending to love my wife.
Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah.
At the very beginning of the scene, Fallon does speak. You don't see him speak, but he says, oh, she really likes to use the money, doesn't she? He says something like that. Like she's really wringing us out of the money.
Yeah.
And you can tell it's bad.
Which is a very, very Freddy thing to say. Yeah.
Yep. Mm-hmm. It's bad Borden. And he's saying like, she just likes to spend our money. He really doesn't like Sarah.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a jerk thing to do.
Sure.
Either way. But anyway, so that whole scene is like amazing. It's so great. So then Good Borden goes and talks to Olivia and she tries to kiss him. And he's like, don't, you know, she's like, hey, Freddie. And he's like, don't call me that. And he's like, it doesn't feel right.
And again, he literally says, he's like, some days I don't feel like being called Freddie. And it's like, this movie's just being so like clear that here's a guy who some days when he tells his wife he loves her, she believes him. Some days she doesn't. Some days when he's with his mistress, he doesn't want to be called by the name that she calls him. And some it's so cool.
It's crazy. So they kind of have this fight and he's like, well, you know, just, he kind of just tells her to stay away. I don't even remember what he says, but basically like, you know, it's not working, you know, so, and she's like, leave your family at home. So, and this was awesome. This was the awesome thing in the scene. At the end of the scene, I guess he doesn't really break up with her, but he's just kind of like, we'll just lay off.
Yeah.
And she's like, I've seen that man Fallon walking around.
Yeah.
And he just gives me the creeps. And he says, well, do you trust me? And she says, yeah. He says, well, if you trust me, then you trust Fallon.
Yep.
And I was like, oh, that's so like.
Yeah. If you trust me, you trust Fallon. He protects the things that matter.
Things that I care. Yep. And it's like, wow. And again, like, you're just like, why? I love Fallon.
This movie is telling you like Fallon is a very important character, the whole movie. Mm-hmm. And if he is so important, we should know more about him. We should know. And so I think that you just sort of, it's crazy how much this movie is just right in your face with it the whole time.
Yep.
And then
we go back to Colorado.
Mm-hmm.
Tesla's compound has been burned down.
Uh-huh.
And he's like, I didn't see it necessary to tell the man about the box.
The box, and Tesla leaves Algier the machine, and he also leaves him a note that says, "My recommendation for this machine: bury it in the bottom of the deepest ocean.
Yeah,
just don't use it, man.
Yeah,
but it's yours. You paid for it, you know, so you can do whatever you want with it." And now we go, you know, Algier. Basically,
well, this is good. So this is when we go back to when Borden is in jail. Borden is in jail, and he reads the diary, and this is when Angier tells him, he said, "This is where I leave you at the turn." He's like, "While you're in jail rotting for my murder."
Yeah.
And Borden is like, it's just like, he's like,
He's like, been reading this journal, and then he gets to this point, and it's like, well, how could he have possibly known
that I
was going to get tried for his murder? And so that's the turn.
Is really pretty much the third act. We're getting into the third act now, because everything's going to be resolved. So this is pretty much getting into the prestige of the movie.
Yeah.
Right.
And now Algier is going to do the real transported man. He's going to do this limited engagement. He gets Cutter back on board, but he says, "I don't want you front of house this time." He's got blind stage hands to be backstage. Yeah. And like, he's, you know, he gets this.
Yeah. And actually, so even before this, sorry, I've got to go back, because this is actually really important, because Borden tells the guy, like, "You know, here's my tricks, but I'll give you the prestige of all my tricks when you bring me my daughter. I want to see her again."
Yeah.
And he says, okay. But then we flash back to when Sarah and Bad Borden are having a fight.
Yeah, this is important. Sarah and Bad Borden have a big fight, and you know, and Bad Borden, he's been asked by his brother to try to help. He doesn't. He drops the ball in a big way.
He really does.
He tells her he doesn't love her. And then
and this is like, she's like, "Do you love me?" And he says, "No,
not today."
That performance was like, oh, it's like so gut wrenching.
It's
like,
gut wrenching. Yeah,
she says, "I know what you are."
Yeah.
Which again, like.
And then, you know, what happens shortly thereafter is Sarah goes to their workshop and she hangs herself.
Yeah.
And this is also important. There's all these things, like the way that Algier's wife was strung up with ropes when she, you know, the way that she would hang as a part of their trick. And then also the fact that Bad Borden dies by hanging. He's hung for his crime. And the way that Algier's wife died,
Angier.
The way that Angier's wife dies is also the way that the fate that he meets.
That's right.
100 times, you know,
it's pretty crazy.
So
they have this limited engagement, and he's like, he comes back with the machine. Angier comes back with his machine. Cutter, he has him help him. He gets like the guy that they talked about at the beginning of the movie to promote. And he's like,
great scene.
Yeah.
Fantastic scene where he demonstrates the trick for the guy.
Well, this guy knows it's magic.
Yeah.
This guy's like, oh, you got to give him some reason to doubt.
Yeah. And so he shows him the trick, and the trick is amazing. I mean, it's like he walks into this Tesla machine that's sprouting electricity. He disappears, and then he reemerges in the balcony of the theater.
Yeah.
And it's not a double. It's the exact same man. And
yeah.
The promoter with all the money goes, "Pardon me, it's very rare to see real magic."
Yeah.
You know, and then he goes, "You're going to have to dress it up a bit and give the audience some reason to doubt it, because people will freak out if they, you know." Yeah. And so I even think that, like, he makes his trap door a little visible just so that people can go, okay,
I think he does it as a way to lure Borden
in. Yeah, absolutely.
Because he's like, right. So after this part, after he shows him, then we cut to Bad Borden and Scarlett Johansson's Olivia talking, and they break up. And he's sincere. He's like, "I really did love you. Like, I love you. I never loved Sarah."
Yeah.
And she's like, she basically says, "What's wrong? Like, it's inhuman for someone to act so cold," is what she says.
Right.
And so she breaks up with him. She's like, "You know, you really deserve each other. He's back. Angier is back." Right. Yep. So, and then she leaves. And so he's pretty much alone.
And this is a great sequence too, because we really switch parts now. For so long in the movie, Angier was obsessed with how Borden does the transported man. Like how does he do that? The same man walks out of the door, and now Borden is going to this theater and watching this trick and going, I just don't get it. I can see the trap door. I see that he's going through a trap door, but how is he emerging on the other side? That doesn't make any sense.
No.
And so there's these great shots where Borden is talking to Fallon and going, you know,
why can't you outthink him?
Why 50 meters in a second, you know, where does he go when he goes through that trap door? You know what?
Yeah.
And it's so great too, because Fallon's not responding. Like, but it's like, why can't you outthink him? And I love this, because this is bad Borden, I think, yelling. And
the bad Borden is yelling at him. Yeah.
And then level headed Borden says, we'll leave it alone. We'll leave it alone. Look, we're not going back. Done. We're done. We're not going back. We'll just leave it alone. We'll leave him to his trick. And then bad Borden can't help it.
Yep.
And he has to go back one more time. And just like he did with, like, the, you know, going up on stage with the disappearing bird trick, he goes up on stage as a volunteer and he's like, I'm going to in a disguise, and he's going to sneak backstage and figure out what's going on. And this is where we're back to the beginning of the movie. We're at the end of the movie, but we're also back to where we started, which is he goes down there and he finds out that. That Angier drops into a tank of water.
Yeah.
And we as the audience still think, like, this is different than what, because Angier does not reappear in this version of the
which
trick.
Yeah. Which means he probably saw him come up on stage, which is a pretty cool detail that I've never really, you know, he sees, because he has to know when he's there. So
he's doing the trick the same way every night.
Exactly.
And you know, he's always killing himself in a tank of water every single night, but he has to wait for Borden to take the bait to not reappear and let the audience think, oh, he died, you know, Borden put a tank of water. But that's, and we still don't know as the audience that that's the actual prestige, is that
we don't know yet.
Angier has been dropping his clone through a trap, or dropping himself through a trap door. And drowning himself in a tank, and then his clone emerges. But it's like, it's such a trip, because it is like, which one is you? Which one?
It's really after you really think about it, which I'm actually, my son figured out, like, oh, I think he drops his clone in and he kills his clone every night. I was like, oh, good job, dude. That was really good.
Yeah.
But it is pretty crazy to think about it. But basically, he knows he's died. Cutter identifies him as dead, right? The one. And then
we see Angier on a slab, dead.
Yes.
We see him in the audience, like, he's dead.
He is dead.
Yeah.
And then there's a meeting between Owens, the solicitor, and Cutter. Mm-hmm. And he's like, can I meet? He's like, I want to buy this machine.
Right.
And he's like, well, that's the Lord Caldwell really wants it. He's like, well, can I meet with Lord Caldwell? And he's like, well, that's out of the question. He's like, but if you run into him while you're delivering everything, I can't prevent that.
Yeah.
Which is great.
So, and Cutter goes to the, And this is our first kind of big, huge, like, in the third act, like, big reveal is,
well,
like.
Yeah. And so, so we have that scene, but then we go to
the prison.
Borden. We go to the prison. Yeah. Yep. Mm-hmm. And he sees his daughter.
Yep. And he's giving, like, Lord Caldwell's there with the daughter. He doesn't look at who Lord Caldwell is.
He's just
fixated on his daughter. He's just excited to see her. Yeah. And, you know, he's doing little tricks with the magic red ball. And then he stands up to hand the prestige over to Lord Caldwell, and it's Angier. And it's Hugh Jackman.
Yeah.
And he just immediately is like, this is impossible. Like, I watched you die.
Yeah.
I watched you die in a tank.
And he says, you're definitely not afraid to get your hands dirty.
Yeah. Whatever you've done. I don't know what you've done, but whatever you've done, it's not good.
Yeah.
You know? And
and this is when he says, you know, I've always been Lord Caldwell.
Yeah.
Like, I, you know, and he's like, so they have this exchange.
That's a really cool detail that I actually never caught, is that he was Lord Caldwell the whole time.
Yeah.
That's his real identity.
Yeah. I found that out a while ago.
Yeah.
After one time when I randomly watched it. But it is a really cool detail. That's he's always been Lord Caldwell.
They're both men,
Robert Angier.
They're both men who are not using their actual name.
Exactly.
Yeah,
and so they have this, and he's like, you know, he basically tells him, he's like, you know, I know what it's like to lose somebody, so you're going to know. That's why I'm going to take your daughter.
Mm-hmm.
And I do think he would have actually raised her. But mm-hmm. anyway, it's pretty messed up that he does that.
For sure.
And then Borden is like, here's my trick. Like you can find out. And he's like, oh, really? So he takes it and he's like, you know, you always were the better magician. He's like, but when it came down to it, my trick was, you know, I think we both agree that my trick was better. So he rips it up and he throws it away.
Yeah.
And then he just takes his daughter and walks.
It's just out. Like, I don't care about your secret anymore because yeah. I actually built a teleportation machine with Tesla. So like, yeah. I think I win. And that's yeah. what he says. He actually says, I win.
Yeah.
And then he walks away and Borden's yelling at the guards. He's like, that's yeah. the man. That's the man that I'm meant to yeah. have killed. If yeah. he's, you know,
if he's alive, like, I'm innocent. Yeah.
But that's, you know, just sounds like the rantings of like everyone's yep. seen that Angier is dead. Yeah. Everyone saw that the great Danton yeah. Yeah. or whatever his name is dead. Yeah. And then now we go to Michael Caine delivering the machine.
Yes.
Finding out. And this is another great moment where it's like, yeah. he's just like, how is it that you're alive?
Yeah.
I watched, you know,
Michael Caine does such an amazing job
yeah.
on this. He's like, his face just totally drops and he yeah. can tell like, and yeah, he's like, I watched you die. Like, how are you still alive?
And like, whatever you like, you've done something bad. Like you, yeah, like you've lost yourself. Yeah.
Yeah.
And yeah. And so like, it is eventually revealed to him, you know, kind of like, hey, I don't have any plans on ever using the machine ever yeah. again.
Yep.
And he kind of goes down and this is the movie is now sort of like hurtling into its.
Yeah.
Yeah. Into its finale.
Yeah. And we go back to Bad Borden in jail and he's mm-hmm. talking with Fallon. This is like the most blatant.
This is the most I paused the movie again at this conversation. At the end of this conversation, I said, yeah. Do you have any guesses? I said, we're just about to get there. Do you have any guesses? And she said, nope, not a one. And I was like, because yep. this scene where he goes, I'm sorry about Sarah. I'm sorry yeah. about everything. You were right. I should have just left him to his trick. And it's like, we watched the scene. Christian Bale's the one yep. who says, leave him alone. Don't go back to the theater. And then yep. Christian Bale's saying to Fallon, you were right. I should have left him alone. And it's like, yeah. it's like if like, yeah. the logic of it is like.
Well, and yeah. he says, and then he throws him the ball. He says, you go live your life for the both of us now.
Right.
Like you live right. a full life.
Basically, for both of us.
Yeah. And then he throws him the ball mm-hmm. and Fallon catches the ball and he says, goodbye.
Mm-hmm.
And then that's the end, but it's a close up. It's a close up.
It's like a close up
for a long time
of this actor that like there were like nobody in the world knows who that actor is. Like,
nobody's
like, oh, hey, look, it's Willem Dafoe playing yeah. Fallon or like, you yeah. know, like, nobody knows who that guy is. He's like a very yeah. weird looking guy. Also, the fact that like Christian Bale's Borden's transported man was always bouncing a ball to himself.
Yeah, exactly.
And so he bounces and the ball to him.
Yep. Uh-huh. And you see he's got gloves on because he's got to hide it.
Right.
Right. Anyway.
And so, yeah. So Fallon catches the ball and then Borden is getting kind of walked yep. to the hangman gallows
yes.
while Angier is showing the basement of the theater to
yeah.
Michael Caine where they're going to store the machine. Yep. And at this point, Michael Caine is aware.
We see Michael Caine go get the daughter.
Yeah,
and but yeah, he's seen everything.
He's seen the tanks of dead bodies. And this is such a great little turn here where he says, I once told you that that a friend of mine who drowned said that it felt like going home.
Well,
I lied.
He says, I told you about my friend who drowned. And Hugh Jackman says, oh, yeah, he said it was like going home. And then what does he say?
He goes, I lied. He said it was agony.
Oh, and I lied so much.
And it's just this thing where he's like, I was trying to comfort you and be nice, but just so you know, you've been putting yourself through torture every single night for 100 shows.
Yeah.
You know, or however many shows they did before.
Yeah, and he tells him, he says, take this all in, you know. Mm-hmm. And so he walks away. Cutter walks away. He walks out of the theater. We see somebody walking up, which pretty much it looks like
it's Fallon.
It is Fallon.
And he's dressed as Fallon. And Cutter looks at him and like acknowledges him.
He
does. You know, nods to him, like, go on in. Yeah. You know, and I think Cutter even knows, like, whatever happens there is none of my business. Like,
yeah. And he knows, like, he knows, like, it's a twin. So I don't know when Cutter figured out it was a twin.
Mm-hmm.
He obviously knew it was a double.
Yeah.
But whenever it probably was earlier than we all think. But he walks out. He walks into the theater. Hugh Jackman is like looking and we can't see what's in the tanks.
Mm-hmm.
Like he's just looking at it. And then we see it's cut between the two scenes. He's looking and then we see Bad Borden say abracadabra.
Yeah, he's got the hangman's noose around his neck. Abracadabra. And as he does that, Angier gets shot. Yeah, and he falls down.
Well, he catches the rubber ball, and he's looking at it, and then he gets shot.
Yeah.
And this is when everything comes out, because he's like, we see that it's good Borden who shot him.
Yeah.
And at this point, my son's mouths just dropped. Their jaws just dropped. Right. It was great. And I was so excited because it was so great to see it. What was your girlfriend doing?
I was like, and she was like, she was kind of like, what? And I was like,
just keep watching.
And then immediately he's like, oh, you have a twin brother. And I love this because he goes, oh, it's so easy. It's so simple. And he goes, no, it's not simple. He goes, there's nothing easy or simple about sharing a life.
And
he says,
that's the price of a good trick, Robert. Sacrifice. Yeah. Again, the good Borden talking about sacrifice.
Yeah, just like you never understood it. And then we see all this stuff of like, we watch. It's such a great shot of like, of him lining his hand up with his twin brother's hand to cut the other twin's fingers off in the exact same spot. And you really realize like the cost of what these guys are, what it's taking
putting themselves through.
To do this, and
he like, and he, you know, it's good Borden who got shot first, and then it's bad Borden. So he cuts off, so you just see him putting down. They put a what is that? I don't know,
it's like a chisel or something.
A chisel, and then he smacks it, and you just see Christian Bale. He's got a piece of wood in between his mouth, and he just his scream is enough. You don't see him cut his fingers off. All you see is him screaming.
We start seeing them switching places and changing makeup. There's all these cool details in the movie too, that like, even when it's just the two of them hanging out in the shop, one of them is always dressed up as Fallon and one of them isn't, because they know if anybody walks in here at any time, we always need to be in character. And so they very rarely are like ever not in costume, but we see them changing the makeup. And what, like, as soon as you see them putting on the Fallon makeup, you're like, duh, obviously that guy Fallon was a person wearing makeup. Like,
I know.
Obviously.
I remember seeing it and going, oh my gosh, like, how did I not see that?
Here's what's so amazing about the end of this movie is anytime any magician explains to you how they do their trick, that's the reaction you have. You go, like, oh my gosh, because it's always like the most obvious thing. It's always like you're watching them do it, and you'll go, do it again. And they'll do it again. Yeah. And they'll go, show me one more time. And then like, you can't figure it out. And then you go, tell me how you do it. And they tell you what they're doing. And you're like, oh my gosh. Like that's what I thought. that's what I thought you might be doing, but I thought that was too easy.
it's so easy. And you're just like, okay, that's what it is. And the movie was telling you the whole time.
Yeah.
It told you the whole time, like, this is, and you're just kind of feel stupid.
Yeah.
And the first time I saw it, that was when I was like, oh my gosh, everything, like, that was so brilliant. The I love yous made more sense. Mm-hmm. Like, good Borden love. And this was really interesting, which I really noticed on this last rewatch. He says, you know, he's telling him everything. He's like, I love Sarah. And it shows them when they first meet, when good Borden and Sarah first meet. And he says, he loved Olivia.
Yeah.
But then it shows Sarah and bad Borden at the having dinner when they're mad at each other.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, wow. It didn't show him with Olivia.
Yeah.
It showed him that he had contempt for Sarah.
Right.
And it just kind of recontextualizes everything. But it's just like such a good, the way that they unfold everything, and they just cut back to these quick moments that give you like, he's coming out of the box. Right. And he takes off his mustache and his brother's right there with him. And it's just like, it's so cool.
And then, you know, but then, like, he's like, you never understood anything about sacrifice. And that's when Angier kind of tells him, like, you have no idea. Like, you have no idea what it took for me to step into that machine every night, not knowing if I would be the man in the tank or the one in the audience.
Yep.
Like, you have no idea. Like, I killed myself every night for this trick. And so it is kind of like there at the final ending, Angier's not just some hack. He's a guy who's like, I went to great lengths to do.
He really did sacrifice as well. I mean, he was a Borden tells him, you did horrible things, and he did. But this is like really good acting by Hugh Jackman, because he's like, you really don't understand, do you? He's like, you don't understand why he did it. He said, it's the look on their faces.
Yeah.
He's like, the world is cold. It's like solid straight through, you know? And he's like, but if you can make them believe just for a second, he's like, that's what it's all about. And it's like, it really is pretty amazing that like, these guys both did horrible things.
Yeah.
Like they're both horrible. Even though there's a good Borden, he's still in a horrible thing.
Totally. Like, and all in the service of just like this idea of making people believe in magic, you know, making people believe and it's,
and then he's like, look around, right? Look. And he, you know, he's like, I don't care. Borden says, I don't care. Angier falls over. He hits over his lamp. Everything starts to burn. And then we hear, you know, Borden starts walking out and he's kind of looking around. And then we hear the same, you know, there's three parts to every magic trick. There's the pledge, you know, and he kind of goes through that again. Yeah. And you see that he's telling this to Borden's daughter.
Yeah.
And he says, you have to make it come back. And at this point, we see that Borden comes back and he gets his daughter.
Yeah.
He gets his daughter back. And this last time I watched it the first time, a few days ago when I watched it, I like totally cried in this part.
Yeah.
Because it was like, he gets his daughter back. And he did horrible things, but this is the character who's been the best of the three.
Right. And Michael Caine, Cutter understands that. Cutter understands that, like, you know what, through all of this, I always saw that you were the better magician and I think Cutter just respects the way that Borden went about doing the trick more than he respects what Angier did. And so he's happy to be like, you deserve to have your daughter back. And you
kind of like deserve a penance for what he did.
And also, Cutter's like, I also kind of made it so that your brother died. Like, you know, and so, but it's a fantastic ending. And that's The Prestige.
And he says, he's like, but right now you're trying to piece everything together, but you don't really, you know, you don't really want to know the answer because you want to be fooled. And then we see that there's a floating Angier in one of these tanks, revealing that all of these tanks are full of just Angier, where the first time, like, you know, it's a great way to end.
Right. The first time that you watch it, you think he only put himself in the tank once. And then you realize
he was doing it over and over again. Yeah, and then it cuts to black. And then we got a great song. The song is really, really good that ends the movie. But that's the end. That's The Prestige.
Okay. So let's just, we'll do a really quick scores because this episode's going long.
It is.
I think that this is kind of easy for us. So obviously, if it's your first time watching our show, we do a technical rating for just like how well the movie is constructed at a technical level, with acting, with the score, with the musical score, with the writing, with editing, all that stuff. We do an ending. How well do they stick the landing? How good is the ending? We do a score for rewatchability. We do a score for cultural relevance, and we do our subjective score. So where are you at with technical rating for The Prestige?
10.
10 out of 10. Me too.
10 out of
10. Yeah. 10 out of 10. I just was like, what am I going to fault it for? This movie is just about as perfectly constructed as it can possibly be.
Yeah. And acted. Yeah. Everything is top notch. It's a 10 for sure.
Couldn't find a single thing I would criticize it for. The ending.
10.
10 out of 10.
It's so good.
Best endings ever.
Yes.
And we decided to do this because we liked the ending so much of Presence that we did last week. We talked about like these great endings that kind of recontextualize the whole movie. And this is one of those endings that makes the next score so easy, which is rewatchability, because rewatchability, 10 out of 10 for this movie.
10. Yeah. I mean, I could rewatch it. I rewatched it so many times and I love, you get something every time you rewatch it. I love it.
It's so well constructed and it's so detailed in its construction that there is something new I learn every single time I watch this movie. And I'm excited for the rewatch every single time.
Yeah.
It's one of the most rewatchable twist ending movies I've ever seen.
Yeah.
Now, this is the only score where we might not have 10 out of 10, which is our cultural significance of this film, cultural impact. And again, it's like, I just think that the movie doesn't get talked about enough as like a great example of great twist endings. I don't think it gets talked about enough as one of the best Nolan films.
Yeah.
So I put it at a 7 because I don't think it, but what
I put it at an 8.
Yeah.
The reason being that I agree with you with everything, but once people do see it,
right,
they realize how good it is.
Yeah.
And they realize what they've been missing on. Mm-hmm. And usually when people see it, they realize this is one of Nolan's best.
Yeah.
So it is. Yeah. I think 7 is a good score. I gave it an 8 because because of that fact that every time people see it, they love it.
Fair. And subjective score, I imagine we're both
10.
10.
10. Amazing.
10. Just what's not to like about The Prestige. Wow, what a great movie.
Great movie.
Yep. So that's it. Have you seen The Prestige? Tell us your thoughts. And, you know, as always, like, share, comment, subscribe. Thanks for being here. And let us know what movies you want us to do in the comments. Yeah. Tell us what you want to see. And we'll get back to you. So thanks. And we'll see you on the next one, right?
Yep. We'll see you next time.
Okay. Thanks, everybody.
Okay. Bye-bye.